Morning. Good Erev Shabbos and Tzom Kalit. Won't have an easy fast today. Today's daf is Lamed Hay in Yuma. We are about to start the Mishnah, but let me just quickly wrap up yesterday's daf. I read to the end. I read through the Gemara, but I didn't really give much of an explanation in terms of what the issues are. So first of all, we'll just spend a couple of minutes first this morning. Just wrapping up yesterday's daf, and then we'll start today's daf. Today's daf is a shorter daf, so Mir Hashem will be able to get through the entirety of it. The Gemara yesterday talked about citing the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol, if he was a Zaken or an Istanis, if he was older, if he was delicate, so and to Tovel in a cold mikvah, so that's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, so they warm up the mikvah for him on Yom Kippur. So how do you do that? What's the methodology? So the Mishnah doesn't say. Then the Gemara quoted on Lamed Alamed Beis yesterday's daf. So they had the following method. They would take iron bars and they would heat up the iron bars before Yom Kippur. Apparently it was very hot. And then there was heat retention in the bars. Heat needed to be retained for 12 hours, let's say. So, but then the next morning while the bars were still hot, so they deposited the bars into the mikvah. And hopefully nobody got burnt in the process, I can only imagine. And now that removed the chill of the mikvah. It's not going to cook the mikvah, right? Bishul is certainly not going to be the issue. It's going to remove the chill of the mikvah. That's the that was the method. So the Gemara then questioned, meaning, well, how could you do that? Meaning there's something called tziruf. Tziruf is basically the blacksmithing of the bars, meaning that the blacksmith process of the bar, in order to harden them, is that they would heat it up, they would shape it, and then they would cool it down. So that was part of the processing of the bars. So the Gemara uses the term tziruf. Now we know the 39 malachas, and we know that tziruf is not one of the 39 malachas. So perhaps and most probably when the Gemara here refers to tziruf, right, the Gemara is referring to something we would call makeh bepatish, meaning putting the final blows on the on an item. In other words, when you're finished processing the item, so that's makeh bepatish, so perhaps and probably that's what the Gemara here is referring to. Even the Gemara uses the term tziruf. So
more than one makeh bepatish, though. I mean,
the bottom still was done. Okay, could be. So the Gemara says, so why isn't an issue of tziruf? So to that, the Gemara gives one of two answers. So the first answer is a technical answer, and the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shlomo Gila tziruf." So Rabbi's answer was, "We're in the middle of Lamed Alamed Aleph. I'm about five lines before the new Mishnah." So Rabbi's answer was, "Okay, it didn't get to the point of tziruf? Meaning, I guess the bars weren't that hot, the water wasn't that cold. However you want to gauge, whatever temperatures need to be adjusted. But in other words, it didn't make it to the point of tziruf. Fine." That's a technical answer. Abai Amar Afilo Teimah Shegila Tziruf. Abai is going to give a fundamental answer, and that is, let's even say that tziruf occurred. The bars were super hot. The water was super cold. The bars are really going to be processed in the process of throwing the bars in. The bars are going to go through a makeh bepatish. They're going to go through a processing. If so, why is it okay on Yom Kippur to do this? So it's a davar sheino miskaven, and therefore it's mutter. So it's something that he wasn't intended. It was an unintended result. And therefore it's permitted, meaning the intended result was to just simply take the chill out of the water. The unintended result is going to be that the bars are going to go through this process of tziruf. It's an unintended result of what we call a davar sheino miskaven, and therefore it's going to be mutter. The Gemara now notes that according to Abai, this answer doesn't seem to work for the following reason. The Torah describes the mitzvah of bris milah. The Torah describes it, it's a short description in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. The longer description of the mitzvah of bris milah is found in Parshas Lech Lecha, the end of Lech Lecha. But okay, the Torah says that you cut off the basar lasso, and the Gemara darshins afilu yesham baharis, even though if there's saras on the arla. So that means to say that there's an excision of the bris of the arla, and happens to be, lo and behold, even though the baby's 8 days old, it happens to be that there's a saras right on the arla, and by doing the mitzvah bris milah, you're going to be excising a tzaras, neged tzaras. The problem is, the Torah says, yishamer b'negah ha-tzaras. You're not allowed to cut off tzaras from a body. So, what do you do? So, the Gemara quotes the name of Yoshia. Here's what you do. You cut it off. Afilu b'mekam sheyesham b'eretz yikotz divrei Rav Yoshia v'avinam ba k'ra lamali. And to which we ask the simple question, I need a pasuk. Meaning, that's my intention is not to cut off the tzaras. That's an unintended result. My intention is to do the mitzvah of milah. So the Gemara says, in the name of Abaye, I'll tell you why you need a pasuk. Because let's assume we go like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that a davar shenem is kavanah is aser. So therefore, that's an unintended result. And Rav Yehuda says, I don't care if it's unintended. Unintended results are also going to be prohibited. Davar shenem is kavanah, according to Rav Yehuda, is going to be aser. So that is Abaye's explanation of why we need a pasuk by Tzaraz. Now we go over here. So now let's formulate the same argument. Meaning over here, I'm throwing the hot iron bars into the cold water. My chief objective is to cool down the water. Just the opposite. Remove the chill of the water. My unintended result is that the bars are going to go through a processing. But that's an unintended result, to which the Gemara now is arguing, yeah, but according to Abaye says unintended results are also prohibited. And only because we had a special pasuk by Bris Milah were we allowed to cut off the Arla, even though it had Tzaraas on it, even though it was an unintended result. So I have a pasuk over there. So here too, shouldn't we say that it's an issue? Shouldn't we say it's a problem? To which the Gemara's answer is, Hani mila b'chol ha-Torah kula aval ha-chatz yirf d'rabbanan hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know, davar shenem is kavin, unintended results is an issue, but that's only if it's an issur d'oraisa. Here it is only an issur d'rabbanan, so therefore it would be okay. That's the Gemara's punctuation. That's the Gemara's answer. Now, what exactly is going on over here? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi writes, Bechol HaTorah, the Rashi right before the Mishnah, Bechol HaTorah, Be'isura da'araisa kagon kotzeitz baharis, Dechsev yishamer b'nega atzaras, V'amamar b'kotzeitz b'arato akosav medaber. So Rashi writes, very cryptically, he doesn't write a whole lot. So Rashi says, look, cutting off tzaras off the human body, that's an issur d'araisa. You can't do that. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda. Even though there's an unintended result, right? Despite the fact that that's only an unintended result, you can't do that. But over here, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, that's all we got out of Rashi. I mean, Rashi over here does not give us much in terms of explaining why is an issur d'rabbanan make it better? Why isn't issur d'rabbanan over here? Like Rashi doesn't give us much. All Rashi says after that is, oh, and by the way, you know what the Girsa of the Gemara is not? The Girsa of the Gemara is not Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. That's not the Girsa of the Gemara, because quite frankly, that's not germane to the whole discussion. The discussion over here is an issue of unintended results. When is it okay? When is it not okay? If the unintended results in Issur D'oraisa, that's not okay. That's like Tzaraas on the Arla. Unintended results which are only Yisurei D'Rabbanan, that's okay. What's an example of that? Our example. Throwing the hot iron bars into the water. So, but why is it only an issur d'rabbanan? Why is it not an issur d'oraisa? So Rashi does not say. So Tosfos, an explanation of Rashi, if you look at the Tosfos. Now this Tosfos is long. Okay, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. The Tosfos over here goes on to discuss at length. There are a number of issues over here, but for our purposes, for the daf purposes, we're just going to stick with Tosfos' explanation of Rashi. He doesn't end up liking it. He offers another explanation, meaning, I'd say it's homework, but this is more than homework, this Tosfos. This Tosfos is like, you know, this is going to be really your Shabbos activity. Just give me a moment, let me... The Tosfos writes, Achi Garcin and Rashi Velo Garcin and Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, Mefarish, Kevin Da'afilo Yehavim, Miskavim Lek Yisur D'Reisa, Kilo Mekavim, Lo Gazru Be Rabban, Na'afilo Be Medina. So, does Tosfos even explain why it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan?
No.
He just did. Okay. I thought the beginning of Tosfos was going to give an explanation why it's only an issur d'rabbanan.
Doesn't Psik Reisha come into...
Yeah, Tosfos, yeah. Psik Reisha is a good question. See Tosfos who asked that very question. Yes. He gives a couple of suggestions. I don't want to give off the impression I went through the entirety of Tosfos. I skimmed, I highlighted some of the parts which, you know... But no, he asked your question. He gives a couple suggestions of why Davar Shenem Psik Reisha is not an issue over here. That's a good question. Tosfos, by the way, gives a totally different shot in the Gemara altogether. I just wanted to make one point, which Tosfos does here doesn't even make. Why is it only an Issur D'Rabbanan and why is it not an Issur D'Oraisa? I'm going to guess that's an Issur D'Rabbanan because it's not a kli, because it's not a utensil. They're iron bars. And it's only... It's mitzuraf. It's already mitzuraf. Another suggestion, another possibility. Okay.
How do they keep it hot until morning?
Yeah, so 12 hours of heat retention, I don't know. Meaning metal's great. It's a great conductor of heat, but does it hold the heat that long? I don't know.
Can you put it on the fire until morning?
I don't know. Oh, can you leave it on the fire until the morning? Yeah.
On the black.
Yeah. On the black. Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay. All right. And please, I encourage. And take a look at Tosos. Tosos is going to speak out the issue of Psik Reish. Tosos is going to give a totally different shot in the Gemara's answer. Tosos is going to take out the words Tzirf de Rabbanan Hu. Okay. Anyway.
Here's where they give you your explanation.
Oh, it's not a Kli.
Not a Kli.
Okay. Who is the quote?
It's not quoting anyone.
Okay, he doesn't quote anyone. Okay, good. Okay. All right, where are we now in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? We're going to start the next Mishnah. So where are we in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? So the answer is that we just finished shechting the Karban Tamid. Okay? It's in Tosos?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now needle in the haystack. Okay, I'll look for it later. We just finished shechting the Karban Tamid, Shel Shachar. So again, as we pointed out, the Kohen Gadol was wearing his big days off, his gold clothing. And now we're going to go through our first change of clothing. And where he's going to move from the big days off, and he's going to now move to the big day lavan. And the truth of the matter is that he's about to engage in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So this Mishnah is really going to be the beginning of Avodas Yom HaKippurim.
You
found it?
Lamed Hay, like maybe 7-8 lines after it widens, and see the word
Psik Reish. Oh, there where he discusses Psik Reish issue. Okay, good. Okay. So the Heviu LeBeis HaParva, so they brought him to the Beis HaParva. Okay, so the Beis HaParva, as we pointed out now a number of times, so that's this area right over here. It's in the Kodesh. It's actually in the Azara. So they brought him to the Beis HaParva. The Kodesh Aisa, and the Mishnah says it's in Kodesh. Kodesh over here means the Azara. Parsu Sadin Shalbutz Bein Olavin Am. A linen sheet is put up to provide tznius, so that he has modesty. Kiddushat Davaraglav. He washes his hands and his feet. Upashat, and he removes his clothing. Right, big machlokus we saw a couple days ago in the daf. The Mishnah over here is going to reiterate. I told you the actual machlokus is here, meaning this is the primary source of the machlokus. The Gemara earlier just simply quoted it in cited explanations, but here's the machlokus. So the Tanakhama says that when the Kohen Gadol takes off his clothing, he washes before taking off his clothing. He then washes his hands. And Rabbi Meir says, no, the opposite, flip it. Rabbi Meir Omer Pashat, Kidesha Davaraglav. So no, first he removes his clothing, then he washes his hands and his feet, and then Yard V'Tavav, Olav V'Nistapeg. He goes down, he tovels, he comes up, Nistapeg, and he dries himself off. Hevilo Big Day Lavan. And now he's going to put on his big gelavan, lavash v'kiddush adavaraglav, and then he puts on his big gelavan and kiddush adavaraglav, and he washes his hands and his feet. As we pointed out just a couple days ago in the daf, on the removal of the clothing, so that's a machlokes between the chacham and Rameyer. On the donning of the new clothing, so kuli am, according to everyone, there's an agreement that first he puts on the clothing, then he washes his hands and his feet. B'shacha yolavesh plus neshol shnei masar mana bein arabaim hinduyin. Shnei masar mana bein arabaim hinduyin shol shmona meos zuz. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, now there are two times he's going to be wearing white clothing. Okay, because as we already learned a couple days ago in the daf, but just quickly to reiterate, the schedule of the day is going to be gold, white, gold, white, gold. Gold is when he does the tamid shel shachar. White, the first time he's wearing it, is going to be most of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Back to gold, so he can offer the Ola of him and the nation. Back to white for only one function, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to remove the Kaf HaMachta that was left there from the first time that he wore the white. And finally gold, finishing off the day, doing the Tamid Shel Bein Arabaim, and everything connected with the Tamid Shel Bein Arabaim. Okay, that's the schedule of the day. So the Mishnah here is going to describe now that he's wearing white, he's changing into white twice. Not the same white linen, meaning for every Yom Kippur, two sets of big day lavan, of white linen is going to be prepared for him. So the one for the main component of the avoda, and then a second time just to go in and take out the kaf machta. And the Mishnah over here is just simply going to describe how much money was invested into making the white begadim. So the Mishnah says b'shachar yalovish plusin shoshnei masar maneh. So in the morning it was made out of plusin, some fabric, some material. I mean, it was linen, but it was a type of linen that was 12 maneh, which 12 maneh means 100. So 1200 and bein arba'im hinduyin shoshmona meozus. And in the evening, meaning bein arba'im, meaning the next time he wore white, so it would be of a Indian linen. Rashi says, "Mi pishtan shal eretz hinduyin, the eretz kush, kin demetagin yonasam ben uziel." Okay, so and it was made up of 800 zuz. So the opinion of Rav Meir. So Rav Meir has it that the first lavan that he's wearing, where he's doing the most of the avoda, it's more expensive. 1200 zuz. The next time that he's wearing lavan, it's going to be of a Indian linen, right? But it's going to be a little bit cheaper. It'll be 800 zuz. V'chachamim amrim b'shachar yalovei shel shmona asar maneh, ubein arba'im shel shnei masar maneh. Now the chachamim disagree. They say that the numbers are 18 and 12, and the 18,000 for the first, 12,000 for the next. Shnei masar maneh, hakol shel shmona. And then if you total it up, if you ring it up, it comes out to 30 maneh, 30,000. Now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. You're right. You've been enough with us long enough. You know, right? If you say 18, you say 12. We can handle that math. Meaning, why does the Mishnah then have to say hakol? Everything is 30 maneh. Elam yishal tzibur. Now, who pays for the clothing of the Kohen Gadol? So that comes out of public money. Meaning, this is avodas kara yom kippurim. This is a carbon tzibur. So the clothing that the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing, so that's funded by public money. So elam yishal tzibur. The Imratza, mom's coming up later in today's daf. The Imratza lohosif mosif mishalo. And if you want to be mosif, now if you'd like to add, so mosif mishalo, so you can, the Kohen can contribute from his own account, from his own monies, but as we're going to, the Gemara is going to point out, but make sure to, the money first gets transferred to public money, and then used to buy the clothing. Because the clothing is needs to come from the public monies. Top of did it go into the one of the pushkas?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, possibly, or just I don't know if it had to actually go into the pushka, but yeah. Now my parva, okay, let's just parva. We've talked about it now time and again. It's a funny word. What does that mean? Who's it named after? I'm Rav Yosef Parva Amgusha. So the Gemara gives a very succinct explanation. Two words, well, you know, it's named after a guy. What's the name of the guy? Parva Amgusha, Parva the magician. So, and Rashi also provides very little explanation. Rashi says, Parva Amgusha, Mechashef Echad, Bana Ushma Parva. Well, that building was built by a magician, his name was Parva, and so therefore, from that point going forward, Parva the magician. Okay. They took out the magician part. So they just left it as Parva. So to which now we can only wonder and we can think to ourselves, that's strange, right? The to name one of the buildings or one of the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash, we understand dedicables. Okay, we grew up in Jewish institutions, all around Jewish institutions, so we understand dedicables. And we also understand that not all the time dedicables are dedicated after people who were the most ethical, the most moral. In other words, they gave money, so fine. But it is a little bit strange that in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, as one of the rooms of the Azara, so one of the rooms is named after Parva Amgusha, Parva the magician. Magic, sorcery, that's something that is prohibited. Minat Torah. Okay? Strange. Take a look at Tosos. Tosos over here does comment on this. And Tosos, towards the bottom, right? The big Tosos, obviously, not in the context of Daf Yomi. The small Tosos, we can handle. So, Perish Baruch, Vizelo Shani, Yesh Menach HaChamim Sha'omrim, Ki Chafar Mechila Tachas HaKarka. So, there's the following tradition that Tosos brings down. He quotes the Aruch, and the Aruch must have gotten it somewhere. I don't have a source of where he got it from. But there was a following incident. The Mechila Achas Tachas HaKarka B'Kodesh Ad Shiyira Avodas Kohen Gadol. Someone wanted to see the Kohen Gadol do the Avoda. Okay, a little voyeuristic, but you kind of understand. Meaning we all have a natural inclination for curiosity. And you want to know. No one's with the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadashim. So someone wanted to see. So what did he do to satisfy the curiosity? He dug a tunnel underneath the Azara, and so that he would be able to get a glimpse of what's going on.
How could he dug a tunnel without nobody noticing it?
Reasonable question. I don't know. V'hirgishu ha-kohanim b'chafira. So, and the kohanim recognized and they saw, oh my gosh. Had he answered your question, he didn't get away with it. I mean, he did. I mean, he obviously got to a certain point. And so they found him, and they named the Lishka after him. Now, again, it's a little bit... even according to the Aruch, right, the naming of the Lishka is still going to be a little bit strange, because he's doing something clearly he shouldn't be doing, right? And it's... okay, and it's funny, it's just strange, meaning, even according to this tradition, which obviously it's a fascinating tradition in terms of who he was, but still, why they named the Lishka after him,
that's... I need to remind people that if they do something wrong, they're going to be discovered.
Yeah, okay, it's a warning, it's a... Okay, it could be, it could very well be. All right.
They had to be a Kohen, to be able to go there?
Not necessarily.
In Parva, in Israel, to go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm limited. All I got are two words of the Gemara.
No,
it's in the Azara. No. A Yisrael can go into the Azara. Where the Yisrael cannot go, generally speaking, right? You see this line in the Azara? Generally speaking, the Yisrael doesn't go past that line. Now, it happens to be that Parva's past that line. Okay, but truth of the matter is that if he crosses the line, that's fine. Meaning he didn't violate any Yisrael Daraisa. Where Yisrael can't go into the Heichal, and certainly can't go into Kosher Kedoshim. Okay, back to the Gemara. Parsa Sonin Shabbos, Maishna Shabbos. The Gemara over here is going to sound familiar. Second time in the Masechta, we're going to see this line of Gemara. I'm Rav Kahana, Kedesh Yakar Shavarziyam BeBigdei Butz. It's a way of remembering, right? It helps people remember. Today's the day of linen. Okay. And that's why the drape of linen is cast, because it's a way of recognition and remembering. B'shachar hayalov eish plusin shoshmona asar. V'tana minyana asar lashmonen. The Gemara here asks the question, which we all anticipated the Gemara is going to ask, and that is, according to the Chachamim, 18,000 zuz for the morning lavan, 12,000 zuz for the afternoon lavan, making a total of 30. And the Mishnah says, and it's 30. And the Gemara asks, we get it. We're all accountants, right? You know my nonsense theory that we're all hardwired to become accountants. It's built in and within us. So v'tana minyana asar lashmona kamashmalan detzibor mahani. I'm sorry, the batzir mahani lo navid. So the Gemara says, well, no, the Mishnah is making a point, and that's a minimum. 30 is a minimum. It cannot be less than 30. Now the Gemara says, now look, in terms of the actual numbers for each one of the big Adam, right, our Mishnah says it's 18 and 12. Those are not hard numbers. Those are soft numbers. I mean, those you can play around with a little bit. If you want to adjust the morning one to be 20 and the afternoon one to be 10, or the morning one to be 16, the afternoon one to be 14, that's fine. As long as it totals up a minimum of 30. 18 and 12 are not the hard number. 30 is a hard number, as a minimum, as a floor. So it has to be minimum 30, and then in terms of adjusting how much to pay for each one, that's adjustable. So, Islam adikuli amamiyas to shachar adifa. However, there's one other thing to consider.
I'm sorry, he didn't ask why it's used mona and then zuz, why they change.
I don't know. That I don't know.
The morning they say mona, and then afternoon they say
for Rabbi Meir.
What didn't they say?
For Shita's Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, well, the currency changes.
Okay.
The denomination, the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there should be a difference.
So the Gemara says miu the shachar difa. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what though. What's clear is that the morning one has to be more expensive. Okay, so the numbers they're given out in our Mishnah are, according to Rav Meir, 1,200 and 800. According to the Chachamim, 18,000, 12,000. Okay? And as we just learned in the Gemara, even that's not absolute. That's adjustable. But what you do need is you do need, according to the Chacham, to get to a minimum of a total of 30, combining the two. And one other thing you need is that the morning one be more expensive. And why should that be? So Minalan Amar Avuna Bereder of Eli Amar Kra Bad 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 Bad. I dare you, find me that pasuk in Chumash. You know you're not going to. So the Gemara over here is just taking snippets out of the Chumash. And Rashi points out, you take a look at the last Rashi on the Amud. Arbazim niksiv belevishas b'gdishachris lamemar tahavi bad bad amufcha bebad. If you take a look at the Torah's description of the linen clothing that the Kohen Gadol is wearing first, so the Torah just keeps saying, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. Says it four times. The multiplication of the word bad, where the Torah now is saying it four times, is telling us that one has to be more choice, more linen, more quality. That's why the Torah uses the word bad four times, and that brings us to the conclusion that the morning linen have to be more expensive than the afternoon linen.
It gives you the quotation.
Right. Right. No, I understand. No, in a sense, possible. When the Gemara is quoting, the Gemara is not quoting the pasuk. The Gemara is just simply saying bad. But
oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, Meisvei. The Gemara quotes a brayso. The Gemara is bothered by the following question. We have a brayso that describes the following: V'lavshu begadim achirim v'lo yaktishu asa'am be'big dayhem. Now the Gemara over here is according to Pastor from Yechaska, we need a little bit of context. If you take a look at the top Rashi over here on this Amud, so Rashi over here provides the proper context. Rashi writes, Lo Garcin and Kavuela Shala Amda Ukra, Lo Gabi Shares Ksivela Gabi Begadim, Shachlu Behem, Velo Shalokuma Biyamakipurim. So Rashi says there's another Girsa, which Rashi says I apparently reject because that Girsa involves the pasuk that describes eating, and we're talking about Yom Kippur. Nobody's eating on Yom Kippur. So Rashi says it's coming from Pesukim in Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalid, going into the outer courtyard. So Rashi says those Pesukim, Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalid, is talking about Yom Kippur because it talks about entering into the inner chatzer. V'lo yala aleim semer, and the pasuk in Yecheskel says, and no wool. So what's that describing? Havadai b'yom kippurim ksiv. The context of that pasuk clearly is Yom Kippur. Di b'shar yimosah shana ha'ika me'il, di kulit chelas. Because during the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol is wearing wool in his clothing. He's wearing the mail, which is totally made up of wool. V'choshen ve'efod de'iz beitz chelos. And choshen the ephod of the Kohen Gadol has wool. Uksiv basrei. And then afterwards it says, uvitzeisim alachatzer chitzona yivshitu as bigdehem. V'lavshu begadim acherim. And now Rashi says, now we have the proper context. So if you look at the earlier Pesukim in Yecheskel, you're going to see that just contextually, it's talking about Yom Kippur. Because it describes the Kohen Gadol wearing only linen, which the Kohen Gadol is only going to be wearing in Yom Kippur. It also mentions going into the interior, which is also a Yom Kippur activity, going into the interior. So therefore, now that we have proper context, the Pesukim is talking about Yom Kippur, and now we get to the pasuk which we see in our Gemara, which Rashi now quotes. And what do we think the pasuk is describing? You're going to change into other linens, not the ones you wore the first time. So Rashi over here quotes the concept which we see a number of times in the Gemara. The Gemara over here doesn't mention it, but Rashi assumes that we're going to have to say that even though we're quoting Pesukim Yecheskel, but they are revealing to us what the intent of the Torah was. Meaning it's not the Navi over here providing a chiddush. It's not the Navi giving us a new idea, a new concept. It's just a gilu, it's just a revelation of what the Torah meant. And as far as the rest of the pasuk that's being quoted, all the pasuk means is that when the Kohen finally leaves the Beis HaMikdash, he dresses into weekday clothing as he's ma'ariv, as he joins together with the people. But in the meantime, however, The Gemara over here, what's the question? Let's now go back to the Gemara. Now we have proper context. The Pesukim in Yecheskel, Mem Dal, is talking about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. V'lavshu bigadim acherim. The Gemara says, my love. Second line of the Gemara, my love acherim chashuvim ehem. Now when it says the other clothing, doesn't it mean that the second clothing are more significant? Lo acherim pchusim ehem. Simple question, simple answer. No, that's a wrong assumption. It doesn't mean that it's chashuv, it means that it's actually insignificant, it's less. So, fine. So in other words, it presents no problem. Tani Rav Huna bar Yehuda v'Amrila Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Echa Shekalta Avoda Sibur Behen Kon Shas Solimo Ktones Lo Shava Ovid Ba Avoda Siachid. Okay, the one of the Begadim that you do the Avoda Sibur, meaning again the Kohen Gadol is wearing how many pairs of linen clothing on Yom Kippur? Two pairs, one to do the primary Avoda the first time, which is where we're at right now in the Mishnayos, and the second time, later in the day, to take out the Kafa Machta. What the Braisa is teaching us, this is a Braisa that was quoted by Rav Huna, it's a Braisa that's quoted by Rav Huna, says that the first time that he wears it, that's Shalt Tzibur. It belongs to the Tzibur. And then, Shekalta Avodah Tzibur, Kohen Shasa Lo Imo Ketonus Lo Shava Ovid Ba Avodah Yachin. And then when it comes to the one that was made by his mother, so that he does avodas yachid, he does individual avoda. What are we talking about? Avodas yachid? Meaning this is Yom Kippur. Everything on Yom Kippur is avodas sibur. What does the Gemara mean when it says, what does a Braisa mean when it says avodas yachid? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi explains avodas yachid over here is not to be taken super literally. It does not mean the carbon of a yachid or the avod of a yachid. It just means, says Rashi, I'll read Rashi, avodas yachid, hotzas kafamachta. It's a reference to the removal of the spoon and the shovel. Shein etzrich letzibur. Meaning, it just simply means the community doesn't need it. This is not a community necessary activity. It just, the truth of the matter is, the spoon and the shovel can stay there. I mean, he could pick it up. I was going to say pick it up another time. I don't know about that. But in other words, whatever. The tzibur doesn't need it. So when the Gemara describes it as avodas yachid, it just simply means it's not necessary for the tzibur. It's really a cleanup activity. That's what it is. Okay, so the Gemara refers to it as an avodas yachid. So basically, now the way we're going to understand the braisa, the first time that he wears linen, so he's going to be wearing the nicer linen and the one paid for by the community. Why? That's avodas tzibur. That's where he's doing all the avodas of Yom Kippur. Fine. And then, later in the day, when he wears the linen for the second time, second and last time, where all he's doing is just going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to take out the Kafan Machta, so there, the clothing that was prepared for him by Mav. Uvavashim Serena Letzibur. But, says the Gemara, Mom has to make sure that she donates the clothing to the community. It can't be personal clothing. It can't be funded by personal accounts. It has to first be donated. It has to be given over to the tzibur. So the Gemara says, "Pshita ma'u detem anecho shem alo yimstun yafi yafi kamash malan." The Gemara asks the question, isn't it obvious? And the answer is not so obvious, because maybe mom says that she's giving it over, but maybe the truth of the matter is mom didn't do it with a full heart. Because, you know, my son, I'm so proud. I want him wearing my clothing. What did the Beis HaMikdash say? They want me to give it over? I'll say it. Okay, fine. But I don't really mean it. That's the concern. That's what I might have thought. The Chiddush is, no, Kamash Malan. The Chiddush is that, no, we're going to assume that mom's going to want to do the right thing, and she'll give it over to the tzibur. Amar Alav Rav Yishmael ben Pavishasa lo ima ketona shal mea mana velov shah. Mom produced a ketonis for her son, Rabbi Yishmael, that was made up of 100 mana. Now, just that kind of amount. Look, I don't know how to translate that into modern money, but I know the following. Rabbi Meir says 1,200 zuz, which is 1.2 mana. And even the more chumer position in our Mishnah, the Chachamim say 18,000 zuz, 18 mana. So over here, a ketona is made of 100 mana. So, right, that's at least five times more than necessary. And he did avodas yachid with it, and she was given over to the tzibur. Now, by the way, just another point in terms of the amount, how impressed we should be with that amount. I don't know about impressed, but in other words, how much that amount was. That was for the second linen clothing, right? Right, like, you know, like the license plate goes, this is my other car. Right, in other words, and so if this is 100 mana, so the first one's got to be even more. Okay, whatever. Right. So Amar Alava Rav Elazar ben Charsam Shasal Laima Ketones Mishtei Riboy. So they said regarding Rav Elazar ben Charsam that Ma made for him a Ketones that was comprised of Shtei Ribu. Ribu is 10,000. Shtei Ribu, right? Twice, 20,000. These are Kohanim. V'loi Nichua Chava Kohanim L'Lavsham Imneshinir Karum. Now, on this particular set of linen clothing, so the other Kohanim says, no, you're not going in like that. You're not going in dressed like that. Now, apparently, this linen was not only fine linen, but it was very clear linen. So, you know the old story? Right. So there was a transparency to the king's new clothing. So but over here, it was real. It just happened to have been that it was transparent. And so they said to him, look, it's beautiful, but it's not going to work. So Mimis Chazeh, the Gemara says, V'amar mar chutan kafel shisha. So the Gemara says, really, it's transparent? Meaning that could possibly be. Isn't it a thick layering? Amar Abai kechamra b'mazga. So Abai says, no. I mean, yes and no. Meaning it was thick, but it was transparent. Look, take a glass of wine, right? You have a glass of wine. I don't care how thick the glass is. Will you see the wine through the glass? Yeah. So the Gemara says, same over here. Meaning the linen could have been very thick. I'll even give you that. But if it's transparent linen, you're going to see through it. And so it's immodest. And so they said no. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, every now and then we have a daf that works well with the day. I cannot tell you how unbelievable the daf from here to the Mishnah is going to work with today. And you'll see what I mean in just a moment. Anivashi v'rasha bain ladin. So let's say you have a wealthy person. Sorry, let me do it correctly. You have a poor person, a wealthy person, and a rasha. A rasha over here just simply means someone who has a strong yetzahara. We'll describe it later, better later on. Bain ladin, so they all go to judgment. Meaning after 120 years of being on this earth, so then they go meet their maker, and they're standing in front of din, they're standing for judgment. La'ani omrim lo mimne malo asakta b'torah. And to the poor person, so Akash Baruch Hu's taina is, you know, you could learn more Torah. So Imomer ani ayisi v'tar b'mazonasai. And so, what's his counter argument? What's his defense? Or, you know, let's say for what it is. What's his excuse? So the Gemara says his excuse is I had to work, and I was poor, and I had to run around for food. So Omer mo klum ani ayisi yosem mehillel. So they said to him, well, you can't be poorer than Hillel. And Amar olav Hillel zaken shebechol yom v'yom hayosa. So every day Hillel would work and he would earn a little bit of money, right? So of that seller that he earned every day, so half of it he would pay the fee to go into the base medrash. Yes, there was a fee to go into the base medrash, a half a seller. And the other half seller, okay, so that was parnasa. That's he would eat shelter, right? Basic necessities of life. And not only did it pay for him, but also paid for his family as well. Which means, can you imagine, the fee going into the base medrash, right, was the same amount as it cost to feed him and his family for one day. Okay. So one time he just didn't have it. In other words, he lived day to day, and he didn't have it. And so he goes over to the entrance of the base medrash, and the shomer says, sorry.
Can't pay.
You can't pay? No entrance. Allah v'nitla v'yashav api aruba. And so what does he do? So he goes and he hangs by the skylight. I feel like everyone knows the story. Kedesh yishma divrei elokim chayim. So that he can hear the words of Torah. Mipishmaya v'avtalion. And who was his rebbe? Who were his rebbeim? That we know. Shmaya v'avtalion. Look at the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos and you'll see that the shalshalos, the chain of the Mesorah, goes through the five zugos. Zug number four, the fourth pair of zugos, is Shmaya v'Avtalion. Zug number five, Hillel and Shammai. wasn't originally Hillel Shammai, but becomes Hillel Shammai. So Amro so Yom Erev Shabbos Hayah. Now, what was that day? That day happened to have been a Friday. Okay, that's point number one for the alignment of Dafin today. Utkufas Teves, and what season was it? It was Teves. It's point number two. It's pretty good. Haisa v'yared ala shalak ben hashamayim, and it was snowing that day. And by the way, I was going to say, right, we're in Boca Raton right now, so if it were snowing today in Boca, that'd be the clincher. But it did snow, right? I know, it snowed in Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, and that's where it counts. So, Shalak Min HaShamayim, Kisha'ala Amur HaShachar Amar Lo Shmai V'Avtayon, Avtayon Achi B'chol Yom Habayis Meir V'Yom Eifel. And so Shmaya and Avtalion are just wondering, Skylight's not working today. Check the light bulb. So Shema Yom Ha'Me'unanhu. Maybe it's a cloudy day. But they squinted and looked at the skylight and said, no, this is not a cloud issue. This is a skylight issue. And so they're looking and they all of a sudden realize a form of a man. Alav Omasu Alav Rom Shlosh Amo Shaleg. And he was buried in snow 3 amas high. So buried under about 6 feet of snow. Parku v'irchitzuhu v'sichu v'oshivu k'neged ha-madura. And so they took him down, they bathed him, oil, a little massage, and put him by the fire to warm him up. Amr ra'i zeh l'chal alav as a Shabbos, and this person is fit to be mechal Shabbos for him. A strange language of the Gemara. He's fit to be Mechal Shabbos, right? And no one else is fit. So I saw. He discusses it. He gives a beautiful pshat, really an unbelievable pshat. Somebody puts himself in a dangerous position, right? In other words, he's really, really not even negligent. Just let's say grossly negligent. He puts himself in a position where now you have to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save him. So do you have to? So I'm not paskening. Okay? Big disclaimer, I'm not paskening. But he quotes the Minchas Chinuch, and Minchas Chinuch says no. No, you don't have to. So the, because... Not sure. But the what they were arguing is that this is not poshe, this is not negligent behavior. Meaning his desire to learn Torah. And yes, he put himself obviously in a very precarious situation, but this is not considered negligent behavior, being that he wanted to learn Torah. That's the he quotes that in whose name? I should give credit. So really, fantastic pshat. Okay, Usher, my crack research team. Usher Omer Lo Mimei Malo Asakta B'Torah. Now we go to the wealthy person. Okay, what's your excuse? So Im Omer Usher Iyisi B'Torah Iyisi B'Nechsei. So what is it? So he'll say an excuse. Look, a lot of money. You know what more money means. More money, more problems. So that's my issue. So I didn't have the time. Amram lo klum asher ayita yotem Rebbe Elazar. Okay, look, you weren't wealthier than Rebbe Elazar. Amram lo klum Rebbe Elazar ben chasam shinech lo aviv elaf ayaros biyabasha ochineg demel svinos biyam. So first of all, how do you make money? So the old-fashioned way. So he got it from dad. So inherited the money from dad, and he was given 1,000 cities, 1,000 boats. And every day he took a little bit of flour with him and he went to go learn Torah. Now a slave saw him one day and they didn't know it was him, and so they put him to work. Now why didn't he just simply say, hey, I'm your boss, right? I own all this. Okay, I don't know. I don't know where the disconnect was in the communication, but still. So they said, no, look, I'm sorry, I have to go learn Torah. Amru lo chai, Rebbe Elazar ben Chasam, sheim anichi moscha. See, no, and we swear by the life of Rebbe Elazar ben Chasam that no, you're on the clock right now. You need to work. You're not going to learn Torah. Umi amav lo alach v'ra'osam, ela yoshev osik b'Torah. And the point of the whole story, meaning obviously there was a disconnect in communication, but the point of the whole story is, they didn't know that he was Rebbe Elazar ben Chasam. Answer to the question, they didn't know he was Rebbe Elazar ben Chasam. Meaning he was not checking his portfolio, his boats, his cities. That's not how he spent his time. How did he spend his time? Learning. He didn't know he was Rav Elazar ben Chasam. Kol yom v'kol ha'layla. And finally, let's just finish up. Rasha omrim lo mimei ma lo asakti b'tarah. We go to the Rasha. What's your excuse? Im amar na hayisi v'tarah b'yitzri. Look, I had a strong yitzahara, and quite frankly, I was very attractive. And just too much temptation in my life. Omrim lo klum na hayitam Yosef. So he says, better than Yosef. And another connection to today, this week's Parsha. Right? Well, actually, it's Vizosa Bracha really describes the beauty of Yosef. And a couple of parshas earlier described the beauty of Yosef. But okay. Amar Allah, I just got excited. Amar Allah, Yosef, Atzadik, Bechol Yom Vayom, Aisi, Eishes, Potifar, Mishtal, Bedvarim, Begadim, Shalav, 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 Arvis. And look, Eishes, Potifar tried her best to tempt him. She changed clothing every day. Begadim, Shalav, Shalav, Arvis, Shalav, Shalav, Shachris. In other words, she made herself attractive and attracting. Amar lo yishamali, and she begs him, please. So Amar la lav, and he says no. Amar la hareni hovashal beveis yisurim. She says, look, I'll throw you in jail. Amar la Hashem matir asurim. Okay, that's good. Hashem will take me out of jail. Hareni kofef es komascha. So he says, she says, I'll reduce your size. Not sure what she meant by that, but Hashem's okay if kufufim. That's okay. Hashem will take care of that. Hareini mistames enecha. She says, I'll blind you. Hashem pokei chivrim. He says, okay, but I'm not so worried about that. Hashem will take care of that as well. Nasan lo alef kikari kesef lishmo eleha. And she tries to bribe him with money. Lishkavetzla liyotima v'lo ratzla lishmo ela lishkavetzla b'lamazel liyotima v'lo maba. Rashi and Chumash brings this down. And he simply says, no, not in this world, not in the next world. Nimsa hilam mechayv esaniyim. So now, when all said and done, Hillel now obligates anyone who's poor. Your excuse is not going to match to the excuse of Hillel. So Rabbi Elazar ben Chasam mechayv esashirim. Rabbi Elazar ben Chasam now is going to obligate all the wealthy people to learn Torah. And Yosef mechayv esarishayim. And anyone who is good looking and attractive and has a strong yetzahara, looked not better than Yosef, and he fought and resisted the temptation. So now you also lose your excuse as well. Atkan.